Just because October has been damper than normal does not suddenly stop the talk of drought in the region. Even in moist years, water conservation is necessary because fish and crops need water at times when rain does not fall. The group Save California Salmon recently started a podcast series on the topic of water justice. The most recent podcast in the series, Out on Indigenous Peoples Day, features Dr. Kutcher Risling Baldy, Chair of Native American Studies at Humboldt State University. Let's talk about the podcast, the group, and the larger concept of water justice. Regina Cicciozzola is the co-director of Save California Salmon. Thanks for joining us, Regina.
Thanks for having me.
And ever pronounce your name correctly?
Regina Cicciozzola, so close.
Cicciozzola, okay, we'll go with a K there, thanks. Kutcher Risling Baldy is back with us as well, Native American Studies Chair at Humboldt State University. This is a second visit after she joined us to talk about her last book in August of 2018. Welcome back, Dr. Baldy.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Good to have you both. Regina, start us off. It's been a tough year for salmon and anything else that depends on water. How bad has it been?
Well, it's been extremely bad for sure. I mean, we in the Klamath River lost the majority of our juvenile salmon this year. And then in the Sacramento River, they also lost the majority of their salmon eggs. And a lot of spring salmon, adult salmon, also died, as did some winter run salmon. And I think it's important to think about when you look at this from the justice lens that these fish didn't only die because of the drought. I mean, there is water storage in California, but right now we are operating under a water plan that was come up with by the Trump administration, which really put farmers such as almond farmers ahead of the needs of salmon. And also a lot of the Northern California water was transferred either to reservoirs that serve farmers or reservoirs that serve Southern California. So, we definitely, climate change was a big issue, drought was a big issue, but really bad water management made the situation much worse, and all these fish didn't have to die.
So Regina, talk generally about the work of Save California Salmon. It sounds like you take on a bunch of different approaches in watersheds generally in Northern California.
Yeah, we mainly work in Northern California because that's where the majority of the salmon are. We work in the Klamath River, the Sacramento River, the Eel River, and North Coast Rivers. And we believe that people who rely on the salmon should have a big voice in how water is managed and how salmon are managed. But our work also applies a lot to drinking water issues because in California, a lot of the same rivers that we're fighting for salmon in are the rivers that are also feeding people's drinking water supplies. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize when the salmon debate comes up, that not only is it native tribes and fish commercial fishermen that really are relying on our struggles and on the clean water that are in these systems, but the majority of Californians actually get their drinking water from surface water supplies. And the Bay Delta especially serves massive cities. So when we put, large commercial farmers, such as like rice farmers or almond farmers, ahead in line of everyone else, that means that there's not clean water getting to cities also. And that was the situation this year. Rice farmers got four times as much water this year as the city of L.A., for instance. So it really shows you that there's a massive injustice with how water is managed in California. The water rights system goes back to the gold rush when people of color could not actually vote or own land and when native lands were still being taken away by miners. And that system is still in place. So Save California Salmon is working to hopefully try to change that. We're trying to show people that the way water is managed is not a fish versus farmer situation. It's actually everyone versus large commercial industries. And there are ways that we could save water and better manage water, even with climate change and drought, so that we could have clean water supplies for cities and water for salmon. But right now, there's just so much waste.
Regina, has there been adjustment over the years? I remember it seems like about 30 years ago, I heard a legislator talking about the fact that they could move water anywhere in California, but there were some things like growing rice in the desert that might not be the best idea.
I mean, it seems like there really hasn't been a lot of change because, like I said, this year, rice farmers used four times as much water as as the city of LA. And those rice farmers, you know, for perspective, are located in Northern California, very close to where a lot of the salmon kills in the Sacramento River happened. So, I mean, there's a little bit of adjustments that have been made. There were actually some water curtailments in key watersheds this year, which means for the first time ever, some of the Scott and Shasta farmers, which are tributaries to the Klamath River, actually had to take less water because the river has actually started going dry and the state stepped in. And that happens a lot of years. But in general, the way that water has managed has not changed. And in California, there's actually a lot of calls to build more dams and more diversions from Northern California. So it just seems like people think that we can dam our way out of climate change and dam our way out of the uncertain future we have with water, which is not really a reality. New dams don't create more water.
We're talking to Regina Chikazola, the co-director of Save California Salmon here on the Jefferson Exchange. SCS recently started a podcast series called Western Water Justice, and one of the recent guests was Dr. Kutcher Risling Baldy, who's also our guest. Dr. Baldy is the Native American Studies Chair at Humboldt State University. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Kutcher Risling Baldy, when we talk about water justice, what does the term mean to you?
You know, I think to me it means that everybody can drink the water and that we have what we need to have a healthy planet and that we think outside of ourselves and think about our relationships to the more than human relatives that also share this planet with us and what that means for how we think about what water is supposed to look like. I don't think it's just human beings that are supposed to be at the center of our water-making decisions. And for so long, the other beings on this planet, salmon, trees, wildlife, the earth itself has taken care of us. So now it's time for us to step forward and make sure that we're taking care of it.
Is that a difficult concept for some people to grasp, the idea? Because when people think of justice, or when white people think of justice, I guess is what I'm meaning to say, is that they tend to think in terms of criminal justice or, you know, through the legal system. But you're talking a broader kind of justice here.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that once you start talking with people about it and opening up their imaginations about what that could be, they kind of see it as actually more logical to also think about what it means to create justice for the other things on our planet that share our planet with us. So you start saying, you know, who's supposed to have first rights to the water? And under water rights nationally, when you look at federal law, it's sort of, they say, first in time, first in right. Whoever was there first using it, that's who gets rights to the water. And you start asking people, well, who is that? Most people will tell you that logically that's indigenous peoples. And I always say, it is, but you know who it really is? It's the salmon. They've been here far longer than we have. They are first in time. So shouldn't they have first rights? And you see that happening, actually, around the world. People are looking at what does it look like to write law and policy and justice that says, the river itself has rights, the salmon have rights, the water has rights just as much as we do. How does that help to reframe what that means then to protect it or to even use it? And then what does that mean for how we think about policy and law?
Now, you, as I understand, are descended from Hoopa, Yurok, and Karuk people and enrolled in the Hoopa Valley tribe. I mean, these are people with a very long connection to salmon and obviously the water in which they live. I mean, what is it like to personally to watch what's been going on with salmon in recent years?
It's been very difficult. I think that, you know, the fish kill that happened, you know, many years ago now really did wake us up. It really did look at like what we need to do to make sure that we're also speaking for and on behalf of things like the salmon, because we need to make sure that people know about, you know, that responsibility. I think we think of the world more in what is our responsibility to it instead of like, what are our rights? What are we supposed to be able to do? But rather, what is our responsibility to this place? And I've noticed changes in my own lifetime. I've heard about the things that were different when my, you know, grandparents were younger. And I think that I also want to see a future beyond that. So I know that when we're fighting for dam removal now, we're not just doing that for us. We're not thinking, oh, we want it to be here for us, but for our future generations. So we're always thinking about what we can do now that can actually help the future generations. And in Hoopa, that's really about protecting the river which is our artery. It's the artery of our land. It runs through the center of it. And we include it in all of our ceremonies. We talk about it. We pray to it. And we know that our responsibility is to make sure that it's safe so that the whole of the world can be safe.
Water justice, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Kutcher Risling-Baldy and Regina Chickazola, our guests. You can join in at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. We have a call from Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. This is a very good program. The salmon deserve water. So the government of California has always been in a state of denial about their water crisis because it's gone on forever. When I see the government of California do three things, I'll believe they finally have got their heads out of the sand. First of all, stop allowing the irrigation of golf courses. Secondly, stop allowing the filling of private swimming pools. And third, stop raising rice in the desert. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Appreciate that. And Regina, you want to weigh in there?
Yeah, I think those are all really important issues, and I'm glad that that was brought up. I think, though, also we need to think about other crops, too. I mean, almonds are also a big issue. A lot of the flood irrigation that happens in California is actually for alfalfa and cows. So I agree with all of those things. And I also wanted to mention that California actually has some pretty good plans out to start putting water in rivers. And to start looking at dams and looking at ways we can make sure that there's enough water in the rivers. And they're scientifically vetted, and there's been a lot of energy put in. But right now, Gavin Newsom is actually holding a lot of those plans back, saying he would prefer that we come to voluntary agreements with farmers. And he's been holding up some real change that would be great for a long time. So I would encourage people to go to our website and find out how they can get involved. It's californiasalmon.org, and also to call Gavin Newsom and sign our petitions to Gavin Newsom and let him know that this is important issues to people. We need water in our rivers. We need clean water for our towns and cities, and that's going to take really starting to stand up to large ag and big almond and alfalfa exporters and people like that.
Is the power balance shifting a bit? I mean, we are talking, and it's already been raised now, about the concept of dam removal, the removal of four big dams from the Klamath River, three in California, one in Oregon, which we could spend the whole hour talking about. But does that indicate perhaps that there is at least the beginning of a change in the balance?
Well, if that's for me, I would say a lot of the Klamath River dams are actually in Oregon. And they don't provide for any irrigation. They're just power dams, and PacifiCorps wants them out. Mm-hmm. There's also proposals in California, and they are actually getting a lot of support from the federal government right now through infrastructure plans to build new dams in California and to do massive new diversions. So I don't really see there being a big power shift, truthfully. As good as Gavin Newsom and some of the California politicians can be on other issues, they seem like they're still pretty terrible on water.
Mm-hmm. Kutcher Risling-Baldy, what do you think about the power balance on water? Is the concept of water justice percolating into more heads?
I hope so. I will say that I think people have to kind of remind themselves that it's not, it's always the rhetoric of like farmers versus fish. I don't think that it's about that. I think that it's actually about what do we want the future of our state and our land and our world to look like. And it's not sustainable what we're doing right now. And that you read the reports that you read, the things that you look up, the way that we're using water, it's not going to work in the long term. So we can't protect the interests of some very select, very special interests in various places where we sometimes think we're talking about like the mom and pop farmer, someone who has a very small farm that they're working on. We're really talking about very large corporations who have billions of dollars that they're sinking into trying to convince people that somehow we can't remanage our water. And yet there's all kinds of plans that have come out. There's all kinds of ways that people have seen doing it. And I just think it sort of reminds us that we have to know who's really behind the messaging. And that it's not just about the special interests that kind of have a hold on what people think when they think about why we use water in the way we do.
Some of this, you mentioned the sustainability, goes down to basic math. I mean, the promises made for some streams, like the Klamath River itself, are greater than what the Klamath River can deliver in most years, certainly lately.
Yeah, and I think tribes have done a really good job. You know, they hire the scientists. They bring the people in. They're testing the water and the river all the time. We're always watching to make sure that, you know, the salmon and the wildlife are safe, that it's not going to affect the land, that we're going to be able to manage the resources in the area. So we're doing all of that work. We often come with Western science saying, look, we're showing you that this is a big problem. And then people start talking about the economics or like what's going to happen to the economy. But then what they're not ever really talking about is you're really talking about the bottom line of very certain particular, very sort of like wealthy, like billionaire corporations, not necessarily just sort of how like the farmers that are on the ground. So I feel like we need to remember that when we're thinking about how we make decisions. And also think about what does this mean long term? If we lose the salmon, it could cause an environmental and it collapse of many different types of ecosystems. That's based on a lot of science that comes from our traditional knowledge, but also Western science. So we have to think about those long-term implications if we always prioritize economy over everything else.
Kutcher Risling-Baldy and Regina Chikazola, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange as we discuss water justice. Regina, to that point, though, of corporations and family farmers and economics, the argument can certainly be made that not everybody can make a living off of the water in California as it currently exists. And yet, you know, if you go after the big corporations, it often gets cast politically as, well, you'll be hurting the family farmers. How do you overcome that?
Well, I think that's a really important thing to bring up. And to your question earlier, a lot of California's watersheds are 12 times, or anywhere from 5 to 12 times as much water that exists is allocated. Mm-hmm. So yeah, California needs to deal with its water rights system because those are the numbers before we had to start dealing with the climate change realities. But to that point, I think that farming brings in about 2% of California's GDP. And a lot, if you look at like some of the crops that are the most water intensive that we're talking about here today, say almonds or rice, they're actually mainly export crops. And as we're looking at this, the world as it is right now and what we're dealing with the COVID situation, making it hard to transport different things around the world, we should think about, do we really need massive amounts of almonds to be exported to areas like China, or do we need clean water for people? I mean, there's the whole saying about how water, or all these people talk about how water is what the future wars are going to be fought over, and you know, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting and things like that. And people don't talk about the importance of almonds to their lives, or the importance of people in other countries getting almonds. So, yeah, a lot of these big farms are not actually providing food for the people of the United States or California. They're exporting crops for profit. And so, yeah, we need to relook at what we're growing, where we're growing it, and whether or not it's sustainable. And I do believe that there is enough water to go around at this point, but not in the way that we're doing things right now.
We have an email from Pat, no town given, who says, we should grow less cotton in Arizona to save water. Grow food, but I think cotton is a big slurp of water. Thanks for that, Pat. Regina, a couple minutes left here to talk about the creation of the podcast. It seems like this is a bottomless well. I mean, you could really keep going down and down and down to talk about water justice week after week.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage people to listen to the podcast because one of the things that we are really trying to do is get new and different voices into the conversation, people that know so much about the issues, like Dr. Risling-Baldy. It's at westcoastwaterjustice.org, and there's links on our website, California Salmon, and it's also on all the major streaming channels. But it's about the, yeah, whole West Coast water justice issue. So we'll be in Washington talking about dams up there. We'll be talking about pollution. We'll be talking about all kinds of really important issues because really water is the most important thing for people, for our survival, and it's going to become increasingly hard to come by. So these conversations need to happen, and they need to lead to real change. And with that, I would say that people should also check out some of our educational resources and youth resources. We're really there for people who are trying to protect their waterways and their salmon. So we have a lot to offer, and we would encourage everyone to get involved.
All right, and time for a final thought here from Dr. Critcher-Risling-Baldy about water justice generally and what you'd like people to take away from this conversation.
I think I'd like them to take away that, you know, we're creating a lot of really great resources that save California salmon, but we hope that it will inspire people to their own actions and their own curiosity to find out more and to think about their role in this, and then to remember that we do more when we start talking about these issues together and we can find really great solutions. And at the heart of that, we have to kind of remember our reliance on the earth around us. We want to create a world where everyone can breathe and drink the water, and we know that our future generations are going to be safe. And I think that's still possible. So I hope people want to join in the conversation with an aura of this is possible. We can all make this something real.
You're making me smile. There's a real note of optimism there, and I appreciate that. Dr. Critcher-Risling-Baldy, Native American Studies Chair at Humboldt State University, and Regina Chikazola, Co-Director of Save California Salmon. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.